Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. And before the pause, I was mentioning it in the sporting world, two persons that I have followed and you have heard me comment on that I admire very much. And by coincidence, in Wednesday's Nuevo Día, in the sporting page area, they're the two pages, and they kind of almost looking at each other, and you know, one is on Jasmine Camacho Quinn, the hurdler, 100, and she's had a very difficult year since getting hurt in May, and never was able to recover from the injury, and was not able to really compete, and she's you know, now pushing to start developing over the next 2 years. That's how an athlete has to think and start, you know, pushing and training and strategizing in the whole program. Now for the next Olympics, it would be her fourth Olympics, which is a record, because that rarely happens. And the ones that have competed in Puerto Rico, Javier Coulson, and has only achieved three. Usain Bolt, the Jamaican 100-meter champion, was able to make three. So if she could get four, and if she in that fourth one could get a third medal, the first one in Rio was one where she fell in the semifinals. And so did not medal on that, but if she could make this fourth and medal, it would be put her in an incredible level of in the world, in the sporting world. So pulling for her, she continues with her Irish trainer, Coughlin, and you know, start working her way to get back in shape. It's going to be tough because it seems that what they're running at and now some of them are doing below 12 seconds and 0.21, 0.20. Some of them have gone below that, and they've been running in that 12-minute 0.20 for quite a while. And my recollection is that she's does basically the 12.30, 35, 36, 37, and it's going to be tough to get down to the to that level, and quite a few are doing it at that around that. So it's going to be a tough all, but she's now going on 30, and let's follow and let's push for her, and let's hope she's able to make that comeback. And then Armando Serrano, who has a fight program for January 3rd, I think it is. Here in Puerto Rico January 3rd against Cruz, Erika Cruz. A little bit of controversy because they found a little bit of traces of drugs in a test that she undertook, and she had problems in the past. In fact, had to give up her title back in, it was in I think at the 122, and so you know she's had that problem. That was 2024, so she's had a little bit of that problem. But apparently this is a trace, and it shouldn't be a problem. So fingers crossed, and that fight will take place with Armando Serrano and Erika, and you know she's had the defeats with the Irish boxer. Katie Taylor, and of course went up to the 145, I think it was, and she's now down to the 126 level, which is, you know, where she feels comfortable, and she's and around that level, she's won many titles, I think seven titles. So let's see what hope that will take place. The other thing that's been happening, every once in a while I talk about these beauty pageants, and we covered a little bit of that. With the last Miss Universe was relatively controversial, and Puerto Rico has contracted for that Miss Universe contest to be undertaken in Puerto Rico. And with all the controversy, both the two owners, one of them in Thailand, Thailandese, and she's been, you know, accused criminally, and all. And then the Mexican co-owner has also had difficult. And then the controversy with the Mexican contestant winning. So just a lot of them. And then there was the Jamaican contestant falling, and it was apparently there was an obstacle there on the stage, and she's back in Jamaica. I hadn't realized how bad it was, but she had some really problems with her going unconscious and facial wounds, and it was almost life threatening what happened to her. But she's coming back. So I went in. I got in sort of interested in how many of the pageants are in the world taking place in this. Googling it, and it was artificial intelligence. It's interesting. You go to Google, it says AI generated. There's over 1,000 pageants, you know, all over. But there are basically four big ones, and then six that are the ones that are looked at as the principal ones, and Miss Universe and the World are the two principal ones that are most known, with 125 participants, and we've done really well in that. And then in the big four, those are which are the there's the big four and the big six, and the big four, we have had 10 winners, and in the big six, we're the only ones with Philippines and us, Puerto Rico, are the only ones that have won a title in each one of those six, big six. So in the big four, we have won 10, Venezuela is the top, and then the Philippines, and then the U.S., and then Puerto Rico with 10. So that's and I got a little curious about it with an article that came out with Gabriela Avilés Figueroa. She's going to miss, you know, contests, Miss Intercontinental in Egypt, and I said. And she was in another contest which she had won, and I said, hey, how many contests are happening on there? And that's where I went into the to the Google to see how many there were and went how it looks. In the Miss World, you know, the one that I talked about, and we had her in this program, Lady Wilnelia Merced, Lady Forsyth, and she's. From Caguas with Nelia Merced, was back in the 70s, and you know, she's was a Miss World. So anyway, that's the world of beauty pageants, and a lot of controversy, and with this contest that been contracted for in Puerto Rico, wonder whether we can get out of that contract, because it. It looks like Miss Universe is going to have to do a lot of what we call it. Their brand is suffering tremendously, and they're going to have to make some credible changes. And you know, Miss Universe, who was from Mexico, has had her run-ins. She had an interview, I think it was in Miami with Telemundo, and some questions, you know, as to what had happened there. She got upset, and she left the interview. And Telemundo is the, you know, one of the sponsors, so they kind of, you know, thought that was relatively childish and all. Then she got to Mexico, and she has been doing work with children in a hospital, and been doing it for many years. So she's trying to recover that image, but overall. So many different things have happened and are happening that, you know, we When I first heard that we had contracted for the Miss Universe, it sounded like a good idea. It came out just after the Bad Bunny concerts were finishing, or had finished, and I said, "Well, this is good news, you know, to keep the momentum." But now, I don't, you know, it's not clear, and it's not clear what the government's position. On one hand, I read that one of the payments, the installments, was withheld, and that they were reconsidering. And then in another, I read or heard that we think it's still good for Puerto Rico. So we'll see. And getting out of contracts, it's an area that is now pretty controversial, and I'm pretty concerned. As you know, the DACO lawsuit against LUMA, where there was a release signed with respect to damages to electrical appliances. DACO brought it up, went up through to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that release was not constitutional. And again, you know, you have this area where there's a contract with the government, and then the government itself, one branch of the government, brings and says that was not a legal clause, and kind of worrisome that we don't, live up to the contracts. And the biggest problem that we're having right now, of course, is with LUMA, and the various phases of it. I just read it up, and I don't know what to get into it, frankly, because it's very complicated. But I do have I want to get slightly into it because I want to have a very major position and belief that I think is important. The main issue that instead of filing legal actions to terminate the contract with LUMA, as you all know, I'm sure, the decision was made to bring lawsuits, two of them, and then also request that the Supreme Court intervene and take on these issues immediately and not let it go through the regular court system. The argument is that there was a letter agreement extending a supplemental contract that had expired, and the extension was arguably, in terms of the filings, that it was null and void, illegal, because certain steps were not taken. And it was not, something unheard, that people didn't know about when it happened. There was controversy as to whether that had been done correctly. In fact, there was articles on it and positions taken one on one side or the other. I think from the government's position, and the government was one requesting this extension and signing it, etc., was that this was not a new contract or a new operator. This was a necessary extension of one that had gotten all the approvals. And so extending the term relating to, Puerto Rico not having restructured from the bankruptcy and the electrical authority not restructuring, there was just an extension in order that restructuring to finally take place so that the original contract could be implemented. So there was, the supplemental and this extension had to do with the issue that our electrical authority was in bankruptcy, insolvent, et cetera. One of the things that gets kind of, you sort of say, why do people say this? But the arguments that that letter agreement extension did not have an ending term, and it was without the It was indefinite. Well, it wasn't indefinite. It was to take place and extend until the electrical authority was restructured. So those kinds of arguments just don't hold water. But in any case, the issue then is if what I find and kind of strange is that on the one hand we want to declare null and void as the contract, the extension, and yet we want that contract to be utilized in order for the transfer and the transition to who will eventually be the operator. It also kind of strange that they want to argue that this case dealing with LUMA has to be in the local courts because the contract provided for that, for a mechanism within the local court system. And yet, if the contract is void, then clauses like that aren't in force, aren't applicable. So it's relatively complicated. There was no arguments. I would have thought that it would have been filed in the alternative that either the extension, this letter agreement extension, was not legally undertaken from a process standpoint point of view, and if that did not prevail, then the LUMA has not complied with its requirements. I suppose there are six of them, but that wasn't done in that way. But the main thing I see, and of course, it's like when I've dealt with Russia and Ukraine and opine that you have to be humble because you're not in there, you don't have all the facts, you haven't been in all the meetings. But as a person who was a consultant in the prevention and resolution of conflicts and believes in trying to reach amicable settlements and solutions to problems and the conflicts, from the very beginning, in fact, before this administration took office, and within the whole primary and election candidacy, it was clear that it was going to be canceled and terminated. So it made it a little bit difficult, and in order for that to be accomplished, because of bad will. But I think it would have been very, very important to exhaust all remedies to reach an amicable solution to this, because this is going to be very expensive. I think it's going to be very complicated, and it's not going to be good. I just don't see it being good for Puerto Rico. I've run out of time in the segment. I'll mention a couple of more, items with respect to this matter, because it is, for me, one of the areas that personal values that I see so often. I get frustrated when I see people really wanting to fight instead of trying to settle. Okay, we'll be right back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.